Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. Paige Agnew, the city's Commissioner of Growth and Development Services, and Kyle Compo, Director of Licensing Enforcement Services for the City of Kingston, presented City Council with an outline of the roles and objectives, along with a sneak peek at the uniform design, of the new Municipal Special Constable Program, which will begin its rollout with 8 personnel on July 1st.
Mr. Compo and I are here tonight to talk to you about the Special Constable Program. We were last here about a year ago, and we've been working on the implementation strategy ever since. Very excited. We've had a number of months of training, and we'll have a complement of 8 special constables that will be starting work as of July 1st.
This evening, we are pleased to present the Municipal Special Constable Report to Council. This report represents the final stages of implementing a program that has been under development for some time and is intended to enhance community safety, improve support to frontline enforcement operations, and provide an additional level of service within municipal facilities, parks, and public spaces.
Described as a targeted support-based enhancement of existing enforcement services, the Special Constable Program will offer direct support to bylaw officers in the field, enforcement support within municipal parks, including encampments, and increased visibility in high-demand areas where community concerns have been consistently raised, such as weekend events downtown, statutory holidays, and what the report describes as emerging or trending areas of concern identified through public complaints, calls for service, and operational intelligence in order to support proactive engagement, deter non-compliant behavior, and provide reassurances to residents, businesses, and visitors within the community.
The initial implementation of the program will focus primarily on authorities under the Trespass to Property Act and supporting municipal enforcement officers in the field. This approach will allow the city to establish a program in a measured and responsible manner while focusing on municipal properties and facilities where staff regularly respond to trespass and public safety concerns.
The Trespass to Property Act, TPA, governs unauthorized entry onto private property, including land, buildings, boats, and trailers. It grants property owners and occupiers the legal right to issue warnings orally or in writing, such as a no trespassing sign or red paint on the borders of a property line, and remove individuals who refuse to leave or engage in prohibited activity on their property, carrying fines of up to $10,000. The law allows property owners or their agents, such as security guards, to ask a trespasser to leave and use, quote, a reasonable amount of force to remove them if they refuse. The city expects the program will enhance its ability to respond to non-criminal enforcement matters on city property more effectively in situations where additional authority or support is required beyond what is typically available through bylaw enforcement alone. In the report, city staff noted that the program will maintain a focused and measured scope in its first year of implementation, tempering expectations from community and stakeholders during a period of evolving demand and limited municipal resources.
Success will not be measured solely through enforcement statistics. Staff will monitor the program through a number of different performance measures, including proactive patrols, calls for service, support provided to municipal law enforcement officers, response times, community engagement activities, and overall impacts in service delivery. This program is really establishing the focus on building positive relationships. The goal is to provide a visible, professional, and accountable public safety presence while supporting compliance, enhancing staff and public safety, and helping ensure municipal facilities and public spaces remain safe and accessible for everyone. We're confident that the implementation of this program will improve service delivery, increase staff and public safety, and provide the city with an additional tool to address issues occurring on municipal property.
In addition to enforcement support within municipal parks, special constables will offer direct support to bylaw officers, providing assistance on calls for service and, in what the city calls a critical component of the program, provide support in situations that may escalate and enhance overall officer safety.
A key objective of this program is to improve officer safety and enhance our ability to respond to situations that increasingly involve complex social issues, encampment-related concerns, unauthorized access to municipal properties, and other matters occurring in public spaces.
At Council, Kyle Compo modeled the new uniform, which drew concerns from Councillor McLaren, who worried about the message being sent by the constable's appearance, noting the intimidation factor of the dark gray outfit. In addition to the uniform's colors, questions also arose about what personal protective equipment, PPE, special constables would be equipped with. Wording in the report was vague, noting ballistic vests, communication equipment, and, quote, additional PPE tools where appropriate.
Thank you. Your uniform is impressively scary. It's quite intimidating. May I ask, what do you have in your utility belt?
Thank you for the question, Councilor McLaren. We've got handcuffs, we've got OC spray, so pepper spray, and we carry a baton. So those are what we've been granted through the Police Services Board. That's in relation to what we've seen with other municipalities as well. In terms of the uniform itself, there's been a lot of conversation around our uniforms. There are provincial requirements where you can't look identical to a police officer, but we have to stand out in terms of an enforcement service. So there's sort of like that mix again between police officer, as you see aside, would be in a black uniform, our bylaw officer in blue. Some mental health services are in red. So from right now, with consultation with Kingston Police, we've decided on a gray uniform.
Has any thought been given to the lightness of your gray color with regards to the stated goal of de-escalation? Because I understand that dark colors from, you know, color psychology tend to be more aggressive and tend to be more escalatory rather than de-escalatory.
We've sort of had a mix of our uniforms. We also have white officer shirts. I would say first and foremost is our jackets and any kind of outer material are in yellow for high visibility.
Councillor Sanek asked about the constable's ability to use force and whether they would be proactive in seeking out individuals who might be breaking laws or simply working in a support capacity as called upon.
So a bylaw officer can't use force, but a police officer can. Can you use more force than a bylaw officer?
We have delegated authority through the Kingston Police Services Board, and those are for very defined provincial statutes that speak to what we can and cannot do. So one of them would be, for instance, the Trespass to Property Act. And for bylaw officers right now, where they're into situations, they don't have arrest authorities and they don't have advanced PPE that they could defend themselves with. For special constables, we now do, under that provision, have an arrest authority where we could potentially arrest somebody in the worst case scenario.
How proactive is it going to be? Like, are you still going to be, as a special constable, reporting to complaints?
So yeah, going to be providing some data in terms of, again, potentially the number of calls that are going away from Kingston Police that we're able to respond to on behalf of bylaw officers that are in these situations. So there is going to be some data that we're going to be able to share publicly. We are working through that for July 1st, is that we're going to have a city website that's dedicated to the special constable program, providing forward-facing information on data, statistics, reporting, and what this program's all about. And in terms of proactive enforcement, we would be on a, you know, hand-in-hand partnership with our bylaw officers. So our bylaw officers are still frontline officers. We would be that supporting mechanism. So we're not necessarily going out trying to get involved in other situations, but we do want to be a visible presence. So we're looking at, you know, events that are in the downtown, maybe movies in the square or promenade or buskers, our major events, tourism activities. Again, it would be reactive and based on working with our bylaw officers.
While municipal special constables will have authority to exercise certain police powers under the direction of a police officer to enforce certain parts of the Trespass to Property Act, Mental Health Act, Liquor License Act, and the Safe Streets Act, the report was clear in outlining what roles the municipal special constables are not intended to fulfill, noting they will not operate 24/7 or actively enforce the criminal code, including undertaking criminal investigations, arrests, emergency response, or high-risk situations, all of which will continue to fall under the scope of Kingston Police.
It is important to note that municipal special constables are not police officers. nor are they intended to replace the role of Kingston Police. Rather, they are to provide a specialized level of enforcement that bridges the gap between traditional municipal bylaw enforcement and policing. The program is not intended to be a 24-hour emergency response service. Outside of those hours, the Kingston Police Service will continue to respond as they do today.
Instead, the program will emphasize supporting municipal enforcement operations, particularly in municipal parks and the downtown core, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. and on weekends from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. to align with peak demand periods. As the pilot program is being delivered through the city's existing enforcement management team, the special constables consist of six existing supervisors who already oversee property standards, bylaw, and parking enforcement, limiting the city's ability to provide continuous coverage, particularly during weekends and evenings. Further questions from Councillors Tozo and Amos arose around the constable's training, related to both job-specific skills and mental health support and burnout prevention for officers.
They have completed the required training. We're just at the final stages with the rest of our supervisors right now, and we will continue to receive ongoing training in regards to de-escalation, mental health awareness, community engagement, and safe exercise of their authorities.
Could you talk a little bit about the amount of training or the types of courses that the eight special constables have now been engaged in?
There are provincial examinations that special constables have to go through. So there's actually a requirement from the province. So it's about a 4 to 5 week course that some of our staff are on right now with the provincial examination at the end. So that focuses on using all the PPE and the defense tactics and things like that, but it also really focuses on mental health, trauma-informed training, de-escalation tactics, communication. Those are part of the provincial legislations that we have to go through for our examinations. We're really focusing on that trauma, mental health training that we can provide to our officers, again, in crisis situations, and that's what, again, our focus outside of the provincial mandate is those areas right now.
That's perfect. That's exactly what we're hoping for, I think, as a council, is that de-escalation and the mental health aspects and the communication aspects. It's well done.
There are going to be tabs on special constables as well and their mental health and how they're doing on the job as well, because we don't want burnout. And certainly if you're going to be in much more challenging situations, which bylaw is already in, that's going to be a parameter of this. So there will be wellness checks, correct?
Through yes, there will be.
Obviously, when a special constable becomes engaged in an escalated situation, the mental health aspect is very important for that special constable in a debriefing afterwards. Do we have it set in our procedures for those special constables to have a debrief? Is there a procedure in place to protect all eight of you?
There are SOPs in place, so standard operating procedures that we have in place, where if a special constable is dealing with that kind of situation, that they'd be able to go through a process to get support. So we are very aware, for lack of a better term, of the situations and the mental fatigue that our officers can go through. We're putting procedures in place, but we're working with our staff to develop these as well.
The report itself made special note of the city's coordinated encampment response, which they describe as a service-first approach, stating that enforcement alone is not an effective or appropriate tool to address complex social needs. Currently, bylaw enforcement officers offer operational support to other city departments during site visits, inspections, public work cleanups, and other coordinated responses where staff safety, site conditions, or escalation concerns may be present. The city's established encampment protocol includes an initial focus on engagement, de-escalation, and connecting individuals to appropriate supports, including street outreach partners, before enforcement action is considered. While the city collaborates with home-based housing and addiction and mental health services, street outreach services are currently limited to weekends between 8:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., with only two dedicated outreach workers available to respond to calls for service citywide, with none being exclusively assigned to encampment-related calls. The Special Constable Program is being described as an additional tool in a coordinated effort between bylaw enforcement services, street outreach providers, and community partners for situations that require an enhanced response, including in situations where individuals decline support services and where there are clear and immediate health and safety risks, which the city describes as balancing compassion with compliance. The report notes that public consultation is not a legislated requirement for this program, with development based based on internal consultation and identification of service gaps. Still, the city laid out opportunities for engagement, ranging from educating the public on the role of municipal special constables, outreach to interest groups including community groups, and targeted engagement with vulnerable populations and advocacy organizations with feedback informing future program adjustments and expansion considerations. Something Councillor Tozo asked about in council as well.
Do you have a really interesting defining success criteria in year one? Is council going to be informed periodically about the metrics that you're using to define success and some sort of parameters and how this is done year upon year?
Yes, we would be providing statistics back to council. We'd be providing updates just on the program, how we're defining success. And again, around those statistics, we're really looking at the relationship building with members of the community. And that's hopefully going to be shown back to you through council, through discussions with residents.
Addressing concerns around indigenization, inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility, IIDEA, the report notes that all municipal special constables assigned to the program will receive training grounded in IIDEA principles to support staff in carrying out their duties in a professional, respectful, and community-focused manner while recognizing the diverse needs and lived experience of individuals encountered during enforcement interactions, citing the importance of culturally informed and trauma-aware approaches.
We're really focusing on the public engagement, getting interactions with different stakeholders to make sure they're aware of what the program is. And we're working with our director of IIDA. Again, when a special constable goes into a situation, our role is not just directly enforcement. It's about communication, presenting ourselves in a professional way, but we're really continuing to work with our outreach partners and getting people into the proper services that they need. So that's going to be part of the conversations that we're having daily with individuals. It might look intimidating. It's also an enforcement service, but we are really focused on delivering that message that we're here to support bylaw officers, but get people the services that they need.
Councillor Amos commended the program at the end of the staff's presentation.
Obviously, there was a lot of fearfulness from the public in certain aspects of this and misunderstanding and confusion. I think you've provided that guidance, and judging by what you have indicated with the report today, I think it's heading in the right step. So well done to you and your team.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
It was an eventful weekend football-wise here in the city of Kingston as the Kingston Grenadiers had three home games on Saturday at Richardson Memorial Stadium. In the first of three games, the U16 AAA squad defeated Huronia by a score of 16-14 on a last-minute field goal, a clutch kick made by a high school-age kid. Certainly will get the scouts taking notice. In the second game, the AAA U18 Grenadiers had a much easier time with their opponents, winning handedly 48-10 over Sault Ste. Marie, locking up first place in the Eastern Division for the Kingston Grenadiers U18 squad. And then in the closer, the U14 Grenadiers had a hard-fought defensive stalemate of a 12-6 victory over the Durham Dolphins. A huge victory for the U14 squad as they look to fight for playoff positioning in the Ontario Summer Football League. Shifting our focus now to national sports leagues, it's a tale of two series in regards to the NBA and NHL finals. In the NBA, the New York Knicks have a 2-0 lead over the San Antonio Spurs with a chance to close out the series with a 4-0 sweep at home. Now, there's a lot of ground to cover before New York can get into that sweep situation, but taking two games on the road over the favored Spurs puts them in an ideal position to bring the first NBA title back to New York in almost 60 years. Tip-off for the crucial Game 3 is tonight at 8:30 p.m. The Stanley Cup Finals have been a much closer series, at least so far, as we approach Game 4. The Vegas Golden Knights took Game 1 by a score of 5-4. The Carolina Hurricanes took Game 2 in overtime by a 4-3 mark. And then the last game these two teams played went to double overtime in a truly remarkable contest that saw each team score 4 unanswered goals before eventually heading into overtime, at which point Vegas was able to score the decider to win 5-4 and take a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 will have its puck dropped on Tuesday, and this could be the crucial game. If Vegas is able to win, they take a stranglehold in the series. If Carolina can fight back, we could be looking at a 7-game, all-time classic Stanley Cup final. That's a wrap on your sports report brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. Coming up next, I've got your weather and traffic report for the region. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, June 8th. Beautiful day here in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of 26 degrees with sunny conditions all day long, dropping down to 14 overnight. Tuesday, June 9th. The warmest day of the year so far here in the Limestone City. Sunny conditions. Daytime high of 30 degrees. But it is going to cool off a little bit overnight as we have a 60% chance of precipitation in the forecast. Wednesday, June 10th, 27 is your high with a 40% chance of rain, dropping down to a 30% chance of precipitation overnight and a low of 17. Thursday, June 11th, another hot day, the start of a run of warm weather. 29 is your high with a 30% chance of rain, only going down to 22 overnight, so it's going to be quite warm even overnight here in the city of Kingston. Friday, June 12th, 29 degrees is your high with a 30% chance of rain, dropping down to 16 degrees and cloudy overnight. Saturday, June 13th, just in time for Pride here in the city of Kingston, we have got a beautiful 27 degree day with a mix of sun and cloud. Sunday, June 14th, there is a 40% chance of rain in the forecast with a high of 26. And then kicking off next week, Monday, June 15th, 27 is your high with a 45% chance of rain. Moving now to your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. On Bath Road between Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays as crews continue installing intersection pedestrian signals. Over on King Street from Country Club Drive to Front Road, expect delays as Utilities Kingston work has reduced traffic to one lane each direction. Watch for lane shifts, reduced speeds, and shared lane signage. Cranbrook Street from Days Road to Lakeview Avenue will be closed from 8:40 to 9:20 a.m. in the morning and 3:20 to 3:50 p.m. in the afternoon as part of the School Streets program, restricting access during school drop-off and pickup times. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and safety improvements. Construction continues on Princess Street from Frontenac to Division as part of a major reconstruction project. Long-term closures remain in place on Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William and Barry and Queen. And Sydenham Street is closed to through traffic between Princess and Queen for the Sydenham Street Community Space. On-street parking on Sydenham Street does, however, remain available. That's a wrap for weather and traffic. Let's send it over to Genevieve Hinch for CFRC's concert and events calendar.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, pride celebrations, community festivals, workshop theaters, or just something fun to do around the city, there's plenty happening this week, so let's get into it. Starting off Monday, things are fairly quiet around the city, but families can head over to Calvin Park Branch for Stories in the Garden from 10:30 to 11 a.m. Later in the evening, jazz fans can check out Jazz Mondays at the RCHA Club featuring Inner Harbor Jazz and Oscar Evans from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., while the Morning Doves take over Musiki Cafe from 8 to 11 p.m. Trivia also returns to Something in the Water Brewing Company from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday brings a mix of creativity and Pride Month celebrations. The Tet Center opens its Piece Together exhibition from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., while Calvin Park Branch hosts a digital marketing essentials workshop at noon. Later that evening, Drag in the Park takes over Confederation Park from 7 to 9 p.m., bringing live performances and community celebrations outdoors. Music fans can also catch Eric Urin and Megan Boulon at the Cove Inn or stop by Musiki Cafe's weekly open mic night. On Wednesday, community events take center stage. Teens can head to Rideau Heights Branch for games and grub in the afternoon, while Kingston Nexus hosts a board game night beginning at 6 p.m. The Ground Up Dance Festival arrives at the Theatre La Sesame at 7 p.m. and showcasing contemporary dance and performances from across the region. Live music highlights include Glenn Jones, Liam Grant, and Jack Pine performing at Something Else Records, while Dan Byrne and Orit Shimoni take the stage at the Broom Factory later that evening. Thursday definitely keeps things busy with the Kingston Public Market running all day in Springer Market Square. The Central Branch Library hosts a Get Ready for Pride workshop, while Calvin Park Branch presents Roots and Remedies, exploring Indigenous teachings and traditions. In the evening, Drag Bingo returns to Daff Brewing from 7 to 11 p.m. Live music includes Mallory Chipman at the Cove Inn, Ted Lalonde at Time Out Bar, and KBS Monthly Jam at the RCHA Club. Friday is packed with entertainment across the city. Musiki Cafe hosts its live drag and burlesque from 5 to 7 p.m., while The Spire welcomes Canadian comedy and musical favorites The Arrogant Worms for a concert and music talk beginning at 7. Live music includes Orkstar Criminal at Hotel Wolf Island, Morgan Davis at the RCHA Club, and local favorite Squid Pistol performing at the Merchant Tap House later that night. Saturday is heading into Pride Weekend in Kingston. The community fair runs at Confederation Park from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., while Kingston Pride Parade begins at noon at the Memorial Center. Other highlights include YGK Beer Fest at Fort Henry, the Ukraine Folklore Festival at Regie, and an Ontario Serendipity Tour documentary screening at the Tet Center. In the evening, visitors can hop aboard the Out on the Queen Pride Boat Cruise, catch comedian Jeff McHenry and at Daff Brewing, or dance the night away at Glow After Dark at La Vida Bistro and the Gay Pride Dance Party at Bottoms Up. Wrapping things up on Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Kingston Pride Recovery Brunch takes place at Wharf and Feather beginning at noon, and nature lovers can join a guided walk with KNCLN starting at 10:30 a.m. Live music includes Hawksley Workman and the Wolves at Signal Brewery, followed by Head Over Heels performing at the Cove Inn's waterside patio. This has been your weekly events and concerts calendar for June 8th through the 14th. And for more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. Be sure to check out their upcoming shows and events throughout the season. I'm Jenny, and thanks so much for listening, and have a great week, Kingston!
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.